continue with Words for Life, a series of Christian sermons by ministers in the southern suburbs of Melbourne. Today our speaker is Reverend David Sterry of Beaumaris Mordialloc Baptist Church.
In a year like no other, which we actually said about last year, but we now echo again in perhaps even greater ways, what are you longing for, I wonder? As we continue to face or seek to move beyond the challenges of COVID and its impact on life as we knew it in so many ways, it seems to me that there is a great longing within our world, within our communities, within our hearts and minds for the coming of something. Something better, life beyond the pandemic, life without much that has been a part of our experience through 2021 and indeed 2020. A life where people can gather freely again without fear or anxiety. A life characterised by peace of heart, mind and soul. We're going to take a look at some of the both well-known and the not-so-well-known parts of the Christmas story in the Bible as a whole. And we're going to focus on how through this season of Advent, it is in reality a season of longing. Longing not just for a life beyond COVID, but more deeply, a longing for God's coming that is fully revealed in the Christmas story. The word Advent, which the time leading up to Christmas is, literally means to come or to wait for something we long for. So today, from a not-so-well-known part of the backdrop to the Christmas story, as I said, which is long, long before Mary or Joseph or the wise men or the shepherds came on the scene, 2 Samuel chapter 7, we're going to focus on longing for rest. After all that this year has involved, or after all of these last couple of years have involved, I wonder, is there a sense of weariness in you? Weariness of all the different things that are different, weariness of all the things that have been a part of our lives, a sense of longing for rest, whether that's physical rest and relief, whether that's physical, emotional or spiritual. Certainly true for me, and I suspect for many of you too. Before the verses that I read to you a moment ago from 2 Samuel chapter 7, King David had in his heart and mind to build a dwelling place for God. Beyond the tent where the Ark of the Covenant, which had symbolised the presence of God with his people, was, David had in mind to build a dwelling place for God that would be a temple or a beautiful building. And in verse 2, he said, "Here I am, living in a house of cedar while the ark of God remains in a tent." But what happens? How does God respond? God says through the prophet Nathan, "Actually, no, you're not going to build that for me. I'm going to come, in fact, further down the track, your son will, but I want you to think about how I'm going to come and dwell amongst you in a different way, in an even better way. It's not me ultimately that needs a home, but it's you and your people and the people and God's people. A home for the heart and mind and soul that can only be found when you find rest in the one to come who will be like nothing or no one else can be to you. A Messiah, a Saviour, a King, Jesus." And verse 6, as we just pick up the threads of what is being spoken of here, verse 6, so Nathan, the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying, "I've not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I've been moving to place with a tent as my dwelling." But then as we read into verse 11, he says, "I will give you rest from all your enemies." Into verse, "The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring, your own flesh and blood to succeed, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." So it would go on to his son Solomon, but there's far more that's been spoken of here. As it goes into verse 16, "Your house and your kingdom will endure before me. Your throne will be established forever." And so this is beginning to foreshadow the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the King. Over the years, God's people would long for year after year for the coming of this Messiah, for the coming of this King, and of the rest that he would bring them. So today, this first Sunday in December, let us consider the ways that we too, in our time still can come to experience the rest that only comes through this King Jesus. To start, first of all, with a sense of certainty that's found in him. When my children were younger, and sometimes they still do as adults, young adults, they would sometimes say to me, but you said. What was it that they looked for? What they look for is what we all look for in life. Promises that will be kept and not broken. A sense of certainty and confidence instead of uncertainty and a lack of confidence, which has been such a part of our lives over this year or two. Much of the last year or two has been characterised by great uncertainty, by things not always or indeed not often turning out as hoped for, plans having to be changed, promises that are made not being kept, etc. But the significance of 2 Samuel chapter 7 in not only the backdrop to the Christmas story, but to the whole story of God and his people, is that here God provides certainty for his people through the promises that he makes. And that's known as a covenant. And in this case, it's the Davidic covenant, because he made this covenant with David. And ultimately, it's about the one to come and bring real rest. Yes, there would be twists and turns along the way over the years. But this promise of God, like every other promise of God, would never be broken. This promise of God would be fulfilled. Today, this same God still brings certainty to our lives in the midst of so much uncertainty. The certainty found in and through the promises of God and the person of Jesus. His promise to be Emmanuel, God with us. His promise to be our Saviour. I wonder, have you come to discover the rest that you can find in him? Is that your day-to-day, week-to-week experience? Have you come to hold on to the promises that you can know to hold true no matter what each day or each week brings? Are you longing for the rest that comes from a sense of certainty? Look to Jesus, the reason for the season of Christmas. But secondly, are you longing for the rest that comes from a sense of continuity as well that can only truly be found in Jesus? During the journey of God's people, through the centuries and through the years, life was very discontinuous in many ways. One king or leader would lead them in a certain way, then another would want to go a different way. Not a lot different to state leaders in our times doing different things, and state and federal leaders not being completely on the same page. Times where things can still be so discontinuous. But long ago, back in 2 Samuel, what did God say about the king and the kingdom of the one who would be born out of the Davidic line that first Christmas? There would be continuity and there would be ongoing rest and peace found in him, not just for a season, but forever. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. In the very different times that we still live in, nevertheless characterized in different ways by lack of continuity through and beyond COVID, we can still discover in Jesus a sense of continuity that brings rest, rest for our hearts, rest for our souls, rest for our minds, through his continual presence, through his continual peace, through continually pointing us towards a better and eternal kingdom than we can find on this earth through faith in him. 2 Samuel chapter 7 points towards the coming of this kingdom. It points towards the coming of the one who would bring certainty and continuity, but thirdly and finally today would bring completeness that first Christmas. Behind our house at home, we have a water tank, and it's great when it rains. It fills it up, but there's a problem at the moment. The water tank leaks. The reality is, the tank's only a tiny little leak. This is barely a trickle, but it's a leak nevertheless. But the reality is that the tanks of our lives leak too. The problem of sin and its effects in this world and on us is a reality. The weariness and burdens of life take their effect on us. True rest in life, however, rest for our souls, rest for our hearts, rest for our minds, comes only as we allow daily our tanks to be filled back up or made complete, which only Jesus makes possible. It comes from coming to Jesus with our weariness, coming to Jesus with our burdens, allowing him to restore and renew us, allowing him to fill our depleted tanks afresh with his love, with his grace, with his power, with his peace, with his joy. And unlike the flawed nature of every other king or every other person in the Davidic line that the genealogies before the birth of Jesus that are recorded in Matthew chapter 1 speak of, Jesus is complete and without flaw in who he is and in the very real difference that he makes to our lives. Christmas began in the heart of God, even back way beyond the Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men, even back way in the Old Testament, like 2 Samuel. But you know what? It is only complete when the rest that Jesus came to earth to bring that first Christmas season reaches our hearts. So as I close today, is that a reality for you? Has your longing for rest found certainty? Has it found continuity? Has it found completeness in Jesus, who was born, who died, who rose again to bring life like never before for us? Not just eternal life, but life on this earth, to know that peace and to know that purpose and to know that rest in the midst of all of life's challenges on this earth. As Jesus says in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I invite you to pray with me as together we consider what this means for our lives, and I invite you to find the rest that you're longing for afresh or for the first time in Jesus. Let's pray. God, you created us. You created us for relationship with you, and in that relationship to find rest in you. And you sent your son Jesus to earth to make that possible in a certain and in a continuous and in a complete way. It was your plan of salvation. It was your plan to restore what was broken in life in this world, to bring about the fulfillment of all that you have for us. But in the midst of life in this world, with its chaos, with its challenges, with sin and its effects, with life's burdens and weariness, we can so easily find that rest and peace of mind and peace of heart and peace of soul elusive. We can so easily experience restlessness instead of rest. We can so easily lose our way in the midst of all the different elements of life and lose sight of all that you are, Jesus, and all that we can find in you. And so Jesus says afresh today to each of us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." I invite you to come afresh to Jesus today, to respond to his invitation to you. Maybe you've lost your bearings in life. Maybe the burdens have become overwhelming. Maybe the brokenness of life in this world has worn you down. Or one of many other situations that might be the reality for you in your heart and your mind and your soul. But I invite you to find rest afresh or for the first time in Jesus. The King, born that first Christmas, the Saviour, but the one who came to give us peace and rest. And so, God, we just come to you afresh. We just allow you to restore, to renew, to realign, but ultimately to bring us to that place of rest in our souls and in our hearts and our minds in the midst of all that can rob us of that in our lives on this earth so easily. Thank you for all that you are. Thank you for all that you've done for us. And may we continue to walk day by day with a sense, very real sense, of what it means to know you, Jesus, and to know the reality of the rest that you have for us to experience In and through your name we pray these things. Amen.
Words for